You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Good to have you with us here for the William Hill Golf Podcast this week. Dave Kellner here alongside Dave Tindall to preview the British Masters on the European Tour, and it's the first event of a new season on the PGA Tour. It's the Safeway Open, kicking things off in Napa Valley, California this week. First of all, a warm welcome, a good afternoon to the man sitting beside me here in the studio. It's Dave Tindall on the podcast. Dave, good afternoon, sir.
Hello, Dave, and well done, Dave. Mike's not here because he's buying champagne with the winnings that you brought to the golf podcast last week. Tremendous effort, 50-1, Tyrrell Hatton.
Yeah, it's been a good few weeks for the golf podcast, hasn't it? Because we had Alex Levy prior to that, did okay at the Ryder Cup as well. So things have taken a turn for the better after what's been a slightly subdued season, I think.
Yeah, I think we've sort of knocked at the door, thrown around the bullseye, but not hit it. But yeah, great one there, 50-1. I mean, I think we said, didn't we, that he had drifted out to sort of a funny price, given that come top two in the last two majors, and loved his links golf. So this was all your argument, wasn't it? Great player at links golf, and wow, did he show that.
He was superb, wasn't he, last week? I think we had one of those situations where it was the perfect storm, given that it should be a tournament he'd performed well in, but it wasn't. He'd had two subpar performances in the Alfred Dunhill links, and his form, albeit slightly, there's a bit of recency bias there, wasn't there? He'd dipped slightly in his last two events. But that helped create the price last week, and that's it was right, a good price.
Excellent price, yes. Well done again.
And he was superb, wasn't it? 16 under over the weekend, which is it's some way to break your duck.
Yeah, I think we knew he's going to be a big player, isn't he, Hatton? So to do one like that marks him down as, yeah, he's going to be very, very good. So we'll have to see how well he kicks on from here. But yeah, you've got to expect big things from him now, definitely.
Let's get stuck into this week then, Mr. Tindall, because two big events are coming up, and we'll start with the British Masters, where Bernd Wiesberger is the 14-1 favourite. Alex Noren is 16-1, Ross Fisher 16-1, Danny Willett is 20s, Shane Lowry 20-1, Tyrrell Hatton 20-1, Chris Wood, Luke Donald, Søren Kjeldsen and Tommy Fleetwood all 25-1, and it's 33's bar. A running theme on this podcast in weeks and months gone by is that you have a tendency to have played a lot of these courses in the past, or at least visited these courses. And we've got a new venue for the British Masters this year. It made a welcome return to the schedule last year, having been off the tour for 6 years, the British Masters, and came back last year at Woburn, and Matthew Fitzpatrick broke his duck in impressive fashion. This year, we've got a change of venue with The Grove in Hertfordshire, the destination, and Luke Donald hosting the event as well. And you've not only played the course, you were an attendee when the WGC event was here in 2006.
Yeah, because my brother used to live in Watford. It's kind of billed as kind of London, but it's nice in Watford. And I said to him, there's a World Golf Championship event in Watford, and he was going to behave, and I know there is, really. And then he finally said, what, The Grove? Because that was his local sort of, it's a great hotel complex, and that all the England players train there. The NFL team stay there when they come over.
Okay.
So when I actually went to play the course, it was the week San Francisco and Denver were in town to play their game at Wembley. So I remember sort of walking around going, they're pretty big fellas, aren't they?
It is one of those venues where, as you just mentioned, the England players were there. And I remember when William Hill had a link up with the England team, sponsorship with the England team, I went down with Lee Phelps, and he interviewed Roy Hodgson at the Grove Hotel. So I have actually seen this golf course as well, albeit from distance. But what we know is it's only hosted one event of any notoriety.
Yeah,
and
but of
that
course,
was back in 2006.
But of course, won by 8 shots by Tiger Woods when Tiger was, you know, the man. Shame he's not playing in the Safeway, which we'll mention later. But yeah, Tiger blitzed the field by 8, shot 23 under to win that week. So I suppose if you take him out, 15 under means it's not a complete doddle. Mm. It's just that Tiger was Tiger. Yeah, obviously there are plenty of scoring opportunities there. The par fives are quite short. There's plenty of eagle chances there. When I played it, I remember thinking the front nine is, you can maybe hit driving, what's a little bit more open. It's not just narrow trees all the way down.
I can never hit driver, by the way. No matter what the hole's like, I can never hit driver.
I can, but it's not very far. So, yeah, it's a very scorable course. It's in very good condition. So I've not seen any sort of build-up as yet, but I presume at its best, you know, it is the very pristine green. So it is very well manicured. And sometimes when you play it at my level, which is kind of rubbish, kind of like 18 handicap, you kind of think, that's quite hard, isn't it? And then you see the pros play it and they take it apart.
Yeah, yeah. From what I've seen, the greens are very quick.
Yes.
The greens look lightning this week, which I suppose you've got to take into consideration. How much stock do you put in that form from 2006? Is there anything we can glean from that event looking at this one?
Well, if you look at the leaderboard, it was full of kind of major winners, wasn't it? I think Adam Scott was up there, Furyk, Els. Scott wasn't a major winner at the time, but I think four of the top five have won a major. So the cream definitely did rise to the top. I mean, obviously it was crammed full of good players anyway, but yeah, I think if you're one of the elite players, I would expect one of the elite players to walk off with the title, put it that way.
And as you mentioned when talking about the front nine and the ability to hit driver, the fairways are quite wide. It strikes me as a second shot golf course, this one.
Yeah, I think Tiger did something ridiculous, like he hit 90% of the greens. So if you go down the figures, lots of the leading players all have really good greens and regulation figures. By the way, I played it in jeans, rock and roll.
Did you really?
Yeah, I got there and I turned up and thought, oh no, I always forget something.
I'd have turfed you off if you'd have gone around that golf course in jeans.
I went to the pro shop and said to the fat, oh mate, I've forgotten my golf trousers. And he went, just playing your jeans then. I went, really? And he went, yeah, he just said, we've got a relaxed policy here. You know, when the England players come and play there, that's just the idea. But obviously, that's the good side, but obviously it's still good enough to hold a big event like this. So more power to them. I think, you know, why can't you play in jeans? What's wrong with that?
No,
you're an old stickler.
I'm an old stickler when it comes to things like
trying
that.
Trying to attract young people to the game.
I think tailored shorts are okay, but I think you've got to draw the line somewhere. It'd be interesting to open it up to the listeners and see what side of the fence they sit on, because can you sit on the side of a fence? I'm not sure. But I'm old school when it comes to things like that. I'd rather see players out on the course wearing correct attire.
So what, they'll damage the course if they wear a different material on their legs? Anyway,
that's neither here nor there as far as the betting is concerned. Dave, I've got two selections for the event.
Well, I've got none. I couldn't really see any value. As I said just then, I think one of the elite players will win, but I'm struggling to find any value in that elite bunch. But you said you have.
I think so. I'm going with Chris Wood.
Right. Well, he would be my pick, but I just think slightly not enough.
Okay.
I'm sure I'll agree with all your reasoning anyway.
Yeah, I think 25-1 is fine, actually. It's not a ridiculously strong field. It is a decent field for the British Masters, but you wouldn't say all the elite players there, would you, with Bernd Wiesberger heading the betting this week. But I think Chris Wood will feel slightly aggrieved to have only played two matches at the Ryder Cup, especially when Lee Westwood played three.
Yeah.
But he played well, won a match paired with Justin Rose in the foursomes on Saturday morning, and took Dustin Johnson down the last in the singles on Sunday as well. I think it will be a week, that one at Hazeltine, that Wood can draw upon in the future. And he's already won at Wentworth this season in the BMW PGA Championship. That win came on the back of a fourth and a sixth in the event previously, so he's got some good form on a parkland golf course in the UK. And you look through his form and his overall profile, and he does tend to thrive on UK soil, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
And it's worth noting that he finished tied ninth in this event last year, albeit on a different course at Woburn. And I like the fact that he took last week off in preparation for this. And he did fire a 63 in the Italian Open in his last start on the European Tour as well. So I'm happy with 25s in an event where the home contingent have a tendency to perform well in prevailing conditions. That's what we've seen this season already, isn't it? When you get an event on UK soil, those guys from the UK and come to the fore.
Yeah, I mean, the two who I like in the top maybe 9 or 10 in the betting are Wood and Shane Lowry. But again, I thought Shane Lowry was just a bit cramped at 20s. His record in England is ridiculous. He's top 10 every time. He's runner-up in this tournament at Woburn last year. And I think it really got to him when he didn't see it through at the US Open. Played poorly, didn't he, in the final round?
Yes.
You know, what was he, 4 clear or something after round 3? It was his, really, wasn't it? A good day on Sunday. And, you know, he could have been a major winner. So I think it took him a while to get over it. But if you just look at his last couple of results, he's just coming back to the boil again. He was top 20, I think, tied 18th at the Dunhill last week. So I think Lowry, given come back to form and his brilliant play, if you read quotes by him, he says he just loves sort of British crowds because they're really sort of, you know, British people love a sporting event, don't they? Mm. You can guarantee this will be packed out. I think he just loves the atmosphere.
Fantastic. 20-1 Shane Lowry, but not an official selection at those prices.
No, but I'm glad you've got Wood.
Yeah, I've definitely got Wood on side this week. The other pick, I'm going with one that may be a little bit under the radar here. Robert Carlsen is my second selection at 66-1.
Played there before.
Yeah, has played there before. Finished 21st when it was here in 2006. Actually played a couple of really solid rounds.
Last round was brilliant.
Yeah, last round was a 64, went out of contention, and opened with a 67. Had a couple of indifferent rounds in the middle there. But he was tied for 13th at Woburn in this event last year. And he's won a couple of times in the UK in his career as well, Robert Carlsen. Obviously, I think he's won 12 or 13 times on the European Tour in his career. But I get the feeling he's slowly making his way back, and he's doing it stealthily at the moment. Not many people are noticing. And I like the price at 66-1. He has lacked a little bit of consistency, but his recent starts have yielded some really low scores. And after last week's slightly lacklustre performance in the Dunhill Links, I think he'll bounce straight back. Finished in a tie for third at the Porsche European Open with rounds of 69, 63 and 65. So that shows you he's in pretty good nick. And prior to that as well, he was banging contention at the Italian Open before faltering on Sunday. So that 30th place finish doesn't look that much, but he was there. He was only 2 behind Francesco Molinari going into the final round on Sunday. And before that, he'd done well in the Czech Open and the Made in Denmark, finishing top 15 in both those events. I think he'll love this. Obviously likes the golf course. 66-1, I think, is a good price on Robert Carlsen. So I'll play him a point each way, quarter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, as well as Chris Wood.
Yeah, jolly good. I'll just make mention of another veteran Swede. Johan Edfors looked interesting to me. He won on the Challenge Tour last week.
Yeah.
You kind of think, well, what's happened to him? Where's he gone? And then he goes and wins on the Challenge Tour last week. He's also won this event before. He won the British Masters in 2008. I think it was at the Belfry that year. So, you know, he's got good associations with this event. Bit of decent form. I just thought 150s, if you fancy trying to pick a big outsider, he might be one to have a look. I think he also played this in 2006 as well.
Yep.
So all those little strands, I think, maybe just add up to maybe a cheeky each-way punt on him.
150-1, Johan Edfors. A couple I want to mention before we move on. I always get the feeling Tongchai Zhaidi is overpriced in an event like this, but I think they've got him this time. I think that's about his price, 33-1, Zhaidi to win the event. One at a bigger price, I think, could be slightly overpriced, but not quite enough for me to pull the trigger here. Joost Luiten is 40-1 in this event. It looks so overpriced to me on the back of that missed cut of the Dunhill Links last week. He's shown form at Wentworth the last 2 years, and he was incredibly impressive. People have got short memories, I think. In the KLM Open, he was unbelievable. It was one of the performances of the European Tour season. And if I was having a third bet in the event, it would definitely be Luiten at these prices.
Yeah, he should really be. If he'd done anything decent last week, he'd be in with that lot, wouldn't he, at 25s?
Definitely.
Basically.
Definitely. So that 40-1.
And he doesn't even like links golf. He said it's just not his thing. He's not a fan of it.
Yeah.
So you can ignore last week for me. Yeah, I think 40s is good.
It could look really big at the end of the week. So he's one to definitely have a look at, maybe keep on side if you're having two or three or four bets in the event.
Yeah, and I agree with you on Jaidi is one of the few with good course form. Actually, he was top 10 there in 2006, so he's played the course well. And he's had a couple of sneaky runs in the on the Asian Tour of late.
Yeah,
top 10 in both. So
I just don't know how much that form's worth, those 8th and 9th place finishes. What would you expect Jaidi to do in those events?
Well, it's more the fact that you just sort of know he's fitting well, really.
Yeah, ticking along.
Yeah.
Okay, so just the two picks there, official picks anyway, in the British Masters. I'm going with Chris Wood at 25-1 and Robert Carlson at 66-1. That's the European Tour event, the British Masters. Let's move on to the Safeway Open on the PGA Tour, start of the new season. And Paul Casey is the 12-1 favourite. Matt Kuchar, 14-1. Phil Mickelson, 16-1. Justin Thomas is 18s. Emiliano Grillo is 20-1. John Rahm is 25s. Kevin Na, 25-1. Bill Haas, Brendan Steele and Tony Finau, all 40-1, and it's 50s bar. And Tiger Woods, who we mentioned earlier on the podcast, was scheduled to make his eagerly awaited reappearance, but has withdrawn because he's not ready yet. And he's now saying it will be December before he's out again. What's the story, in your opinion, Dave? Have you had your moles gathering information about Tiger Woods?
I've heard a few theories that while he was at the Ryder Cup, obviously as vice captain, he's had a look at everyone there and thought, blimey, I am a mile away. So, you know, there might be something in that.
But then he did commit, didn't he, on, was it last Friday? I can't remember when he committed exactly.
I think he just did it, and then I think his sort of reality's kicked in. I do fear he's just had it, and that's it.
And we won't ever see him in an event again.
Well, you might, but not winning.
No, I agree with you. I'd be astonished if he came back and won a PGA Tour event next season anyway.
It's whether you sort of want... Do you want him to come back and absolutely humiliate himself? Or would you rather have that than be guessing?
It doesn't seem like we've had a swan song, though, does it? It doesn't seem like we've had that one where the greats have in the past, haven't they? Jack Nicklaus at the Masters, he had the moment where it's almost over, but it's not yet, and there's one more big week.
Yeah, but
is there one more big week for Tiger Woods?
I don't know, Tiger, it's a different story, isn't it? That's more just sort of general wear and tear. Tiger's just sort of fallen to pieces, hasn't he, body-wise?
There's gaps in the timeline, isn't there, where he's been playing golf and you think he's ready to make his comeback, and then all goes quiet on the Western Front for two or three months, and I just wonder whether he's had another setback at some point.
Yeah.
But
shame. And it'd be great, wouldn't it, if he did come back and challenged on the back nine at Augusta or something. But
well, when I heard the news a couple of weeks ago that he was planning on making his return in the Safeway Open, you were thinking about, especially after the Ryder Cup, when we've seen all those amazing storylines with Patrick Reed and Rory McIlroy going head-to-head, for instance, that throw Tiger Woods back into the mix, and you've got not only this generation coming through, you've got a clash of the generations there, and it's something to look forward to in the future. And I understand people get frustrated with all the talk about Tiger Woods, but when I was growing up, Tiger Woods was the draw. He got me interested in the game, basically. So I can understand it. And I still want to talk about Tiger Woods. I still want him to be relevant in the game of golf.
You just fear, don't you, that sometimes players just really go, don't they? Like David Duval was world number one, and then he just went out like a light, basically. And has Tiger gone now? I mean, because as well as the injuries, I mean, how do you explain the sort of yips and the sort of chipping yips?
Well, I wonder whether he's fully fit and ready to go, but there is something mentally holding him. He's got a mental block where he embarrassed himself in his last couple of starts, didn't he, with those chipping yips. It's got to have taken a mental toll on even one of the greatest mentally of all time, if not the greatest.
Yeah, when you're that good and you're sort of yipping with the chips, you know, like you or me, then what must you think?
Yeah,
it's sort of your magic powers have been stripped.
Yeah, it's a shame he's not here, but we wish him well, and I hope he's back involved in the game in the next couple of months. It's still got interest, this event, because we get to see the web.com tour graduates this week, and I'll get to see a lot of players that I've never seen. I've read the results, but I've never seen them swing a golf club in their lives, so I've never seen them. I've never seen them perform on the big stage. So that's a intriguing to see how they go this week. This event was formerly known as the Fries.com and moved to California in 2010. And for the last couple of years, Silverado Resort and Spa in Napa, California has hosted. And it's at a stock par 72 with the 4 par 5s and the 4 par 3s. Measures just under 7,200 yards, so not a long golf course. Sang Moon Bae won the event in 2014 and Emiliano Grillo won it last year. Both posted 15 under in their winning years, and both didn't perform that well with the putter, which is unusual for a winner of a PGA Tour event. And I think Grillo, as noted on Rob Bolton's power rankings on the PGA Tour website, he recorded a negative strokes gained putting week when he won.
Yeah, there is that side to it. Why you, as you well know, Sang Moon Bae won because you picked him. Why did you pick him that week? Do you remember your reasoning?
No, it's so long ago now, but it was more to do with price than anything else.
Right.
I think he was 125-1 when I tipped him that week, and it just looked like an incredibly big price for it. It was something as simple as him being overpriced because of his talent and how good I thought he was going to be. And he's realised that, hasn't he, subsequently as well, Sang Moon Bae. Now he's doing military service now, isn't he? Yeah. Which is such a shame when he was peaking in his career.
Yeah.
But it was mainly down to price, I think.
Okay. Because he's sort of, I know you've said putting's not the be-all and end-all, or were you saying
it hasn't been in the last 2 years here, but has it? And that's what we've got to go on, I suppose.
Well, I would say 2 years is a pretty narrow sample size.
I'd agree.
So my thinking was, we are in California, so we're back on Poa Anna greens. And one of my other jobs that I do is on an American fantasy website, working with a guy called Josh Culp, who big on the fantasy write-ups and everything.
Yeah.
He's got a very useful little website called futureoffantasy.com. And he breaks down the kind of the best performers on certain types of grass. So there is a page for Poa Anna. It's a tricky word to say when you look at the spelling. And he lists the top 25 performers on it since 2013-14. And you look at the top of the list, it's just kind of the best players to start with, isn't it? You've got Dustin Johnson, Jason Day, Bubba Watson. All makes sense because you can think, right, they've won on the West Coast. But some of the interesting names a bit further down. Now, you'll notice number 5, Sang Moon Bae.
Yeah, I've just seen that.
Yeah, so he's in there. He also does it Poa versus kind of what their sort of overall performance on strokes game put in. Sang Moon Bae's top of that, so that, you know, you had the right surface for him. Even, you know, maybe he didn't put great, but imagine how poorly he would have played on a different sort of grass. So that's helped me pick my main pick, and that's going to be Martin Laird.
Right, okay.
So I've always thought of him, he is a West Coast kind of guy, even though he's Scottish, you don't immediately think that. But if you followed Martin Laird's career, he first sort of came to prominence when he won in Vegas in 2009, went back there the following year, lost in the playoff. So set his stall out there on the West Coast. Played a lot of good tournaments as well over that way. Just if you look at this year in California, 11th in the Northern Trust, 8th at Torrey Pines. But let's drill down to actually this tournament itself. He was 3rd there in 2014. And then 2015, on the bare results, he was tied 62nd, but he was 6th at halfway. So basically he's been on that leaderboard kind of 6 rounds out of 8. One of them translated to a tied 3rd. So he's a big fan of the course, says it sets up well for him. I think he said something like that when he takes driver, it plays for his cut, but he draws his 3-wood, and the holes all lend themselves to that particular choice of club off the tee. And he's just had some decent enough form, if you look at recent times. He's playing well enough to put in a big performance. I think the move back to California, where he's playing on Poa Anna, could just get him over the line. I thought 66-1 was a nice price in what isn't the best field, really, is it? If you look at the front end, Paul Casey, who's won once in America ever, Martin Laird's won 3 times in America, Matt Kuchar, that's just kind of like programmed by a robot, isn't it? 16-1 in an event. Was he 14?
14,
that kind of thing. And Mickelson's not won since 2013. So I thought 66 on Laird, who can win some events. He's won at Bay Hill before. I thought that was a decent price.
I'm glad I'm not going for any of those guys at the top of the betting because
I just dismissed.
Yeah, after you just dismissed out of hand, but I've not. I was tempted by Justin Thomas, and if he'd have been, he was 20. We're recording this at 4:30 on a Tuesday afternoon. At 9 o'clock on Tuesday morning, he was 25-1 with William Hill, which I almost tweeted out because I knew the price was going to disappear.
Yeah.
He looks like the perfect fit, doesn't he? Really, he finished. Third here last year, sixth at Eastlake, one of the best players in the field and plays well on the par fives. And he's in that list, actually, on the on those Poana greens.
Yes.
He's 25th on in that list. So he puts well on these greens as well. So he looks obvious, but 18-1, I think he'd be the player I don't want to win now rather than a pick at that price. I've got one selection. And you mentioned the relative weakness of the field, and that... That led me to Scott Piercy at 50-1.
Right, yeah.
Because it's almost a home game for Scott Piercy. He resides in Las Vegas, Nevada. And even though it takes over 9 hours by car, he'll be flying. So it's only an hour flight. And I think his value at 50-1 in a field that's not that strong, ever so impressive at the US Open when finishing in a tie for second, showed that was no fluke again on the back of that finishing second in the Bridgestone. And he went a little bit quiet subsequently, but that's top quality form in this field. And his form in the last three events, he qualified for the playoffs, wasn't bad. And his ball striking in the BMW Championship, which was his last event on tour about a month ago, was very good. And that's what caught my eye. He finished 24th, but ranked 15th in strokes gained tee to green and second in scrambling at an event where putting hasn't been the be-all and end-all the last 2 years, like this one. And Piercy is 50-1 in a field of this strength. I think it's got to be worth a look because putting is his Achilles heel. So Scott Piercy, I think, is a really good bet at the prices. So 50-1, play him a point each way.
Yeah, I was just scrolling down. There is a kind of worst performers on Poana, but you'll be glad he's not in there.
He's not on there. I think he puts badly on wherever. Any surface, to be honest.
He doesn't discriminate.
No, he doesn't discriminate. He's not... He can have big putting weeks, but he's not a fantastic putter statistically year on year.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, that's a decent price. I've gone for a Scott as well. So I've picked a Scott, who's Scottish, and then you've picked a Scott by name. I've picked a Scott by name as well. Scott Stallings.
Yeah, 100-1.
Yeah, I thought that was a good price on him. You mentioned the web.com earlier on. He actually played in that final series because he lost his card at the end of this season just gone, finished 128th, but he's got it back straight away.
Right.
Had a couple of top six finishes, so, you know, crisis over. He's back in there. He's back on tour again. And there were reasons. I mean, this is a guy who can win. I mean, he won three times in about the space of four seasons, I think. Won at Torrey Pines, which is obviously a big event on Poana, and I think he can get back in amongst it because he's had some obvious reasons why he's not. Well, he's had this dip. He got banned. He got a ban for 3 months for taking a substance, but it wasn't one of these, you know, without going to the ins and outs of it. It was something that he was prescribed that was on a list, and
it was like a supplement.
It wasn't. It was for kind of. It had a lot of fatigue, which had affected him as well, led to poor results, and then he got a ban for taking something that he thought was okay. He actually called it on himself, so it wasn't like he was hiding anything. But that ban and the sort of loss of form before that did take its toll. But now I think he's back. He's got his card back, and I think this is a really good place to catch him on that Poana kind of versus how they do normally. He's second, so this is very much his favoured surface, as you might expect from a guy who's finished first and second at Torrey Pines.
Yeah.
So he plays really well there. He's played this event twice. He did miss the cut last time, but he'd had 3 months off before then, so I'm fine to put a line through that rust. The other time he played, it tied 21st, which is a decent enough knock. So just put it all together. I thought 100-1. It was one of those ones you kind of start to scroll down. You think, don't appear at 66, don't appear at 80s. And I kept going, and there he was at 100s, and thought, oh, right, good.
Okay.
That's enough for me to pull the trigger. A bit like you with Sangmoon, but I just think he's a, on his best, he's a very good player, Scott Stallings, so 100s is good.
100-1 Scott Stallings is Dave's second selection. I've not really got many honourable mentions here. I'm intrigued to see how these Web.com Tour graduates do. The likes of Grayson Murray, who's in there at 66-1 and is probably the hottest player, or was the hottest player on the Web.com Tour at the back end of the season. And I'll be keeping a close eye on Webb Simpson as well at 80-1 in this field. So those are the two that I want to mention, along with Tony Finau as well, who I thought would go well, having had a little bit of time off now at 40-1. But those are the only three that are away from the selection of Scott Piercy I want to mention.
Yeah, I would have put Justin Thomas in at 25s, but you've got to draw a line somewhere, haven't you, in your head?
Yeah.
I did wonder, because I know you're a big fan of, you might mention John Rahm.
Yeah, I wouldn't surprise me at all if he won at 25-1, I must admit.
But what are you...
There's no real reservation there. I think he's a fair price at 25-1, but I don't think he's a huge price at 25-1. I think it's about right.
Yeah, I looked at it and thought...
He looks like an absolute star, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, I looked at it and probably thought the same. Yeah, he's really good, isn't he? But the price is saying that.
What about Bryson DeChambeau at 80-1? He's got a win now, hasn't he, on the Web.com Tour?
Yeah.
I mean, that could look like a big price when everyone was crowing about him 6 months ago. But when you compare it with John Rahm at 25-1, I think John Rahm will be the better of the two players in time. But if you'd said to many people 9 months ago, who's going to be better, John Rahm or Bryson DeChambeau?
Yeah.
People would have bought the stock on Bryson DeChambeau, and he's now over three times the price. So I suppose that's something to look at as well.
Yeah, that's a fair shout, I think, yeah. We've probably covered most of them. Griot, you don't know how well he might defend his title. It's always tricky, isn't it? Kevin Na will probably come like eighth or something, but I'm not backing him at 25s each way.
Mm. And then you get into the prices where 40-1 and bigger, if you fancy someone, take a chance, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's funny how I didn't really see a lot of value in the European one, but I thought 66 and 100s for Laird and Stallings was good.
Yeah. And I was the other way around a little bit. I thought there were some good bets in the British Masters, and I found the safe way open more of a struggle. We've got there, though, in the end, Mr. Tindall. Let's recap the selections before... give me the player you don't want to win first, and then we'll recap the selections.
I think I'm with you, Justin Thomas.
Yeah, Justin Thomas for me as well. So British Masters, no selection for Dave, but I'm going a point each way, Chris Wood at 25-1, and a point each way, Robert Carlson at 66-1. And in a Safeway Open, I'll play Scott Piercy, a point each way at 50-1.
Yeah, I'll have a point each way Martin Laird in the Safeway at 66. And also, a point each way Scott Stallings at 100-1 in the Safeway Open as well. If I was doing a don't want to win double, which I might actually do, I might do Chris Wood and Justin Thomas.
I think I'd do Yousse Loughton and Justin Thomas in that don't want to win double. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Remember to download this podcast weekly via iTunes or check us out at audioboom.com by typing in William Hill. Mike was away this week. He'll be back next week. At M. Grenham, if you want to follow Mike on Twitter. You can follow myself at D. Kellner and Dave at Dave Tindall Golf. And good luck if you're having a bet this week. Check out all the latest at williamhill.com by clicking on the golf page. And myself, Dave and Mike will be back with more golf analysis next week.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey-o, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.